Welcome, everybody, to Roni's Own Radio number 4. I was waiting to see how episode 3 would be accepted to the pretty mixed audience, I would say, from the Star Wars fan audio community and new people that I'm meeting and promoting the show to all over California. And episode 3 was accepted very well, and I had some positive feedback. My mother and I had some very interesting conversations, but interesting conversations are good, and I hope that conversations are really spawned from these shows, that you think about things, and that maybe you talk about them. I think that's the best way to really grasp some of these issues, is to really talk about it. I'm always available for comments or critiques or encouraging emails. You can email me at jeff.roney. That's jeff.roney@gmail.com. Now, enough of that. If you haven't donated toward the Katrina relief effort, I encourage you to donate something now. I give you full permission to stop this. Do something now. We'll be talking more about that later. But first, we are going to have an interview with two of our guests. And the subject is unplanned pregnancy, choices, and voices. Very interesting, enlightening interview. Also, after that, we're going to be touching on Katrina, the hurricane that has really changed not only New Orleans, but other states, other cities. And I think it's changed us as Americans. We'll be talking about that after the unplanned pregnancy interview. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy unplanned pregnancy, choices, and voices. Well, welcome everybody to Roni's Own Radio. We have an important subject to talk about today, and we have some guests I need to introduce. And I just want to thank you for taking your time and sharing your story. So we're going to be talking about unplanned pregnancy today, and we have Kim with us. Hi, Kim. And Taylor.
Hello.
Okay. It seems like everything in Washington these days really surrounds the questions about unplanned pregnancy. Abortion, right or wrong, I have feelings about it, but I felt that it would be better to talk to those who have faced those choices and have made those choices. As from a Christian perspective, we believe that abortion is wrong, that you should keep the child. Now, let's set that aside for a second. Today we're going to be talking about reality, facing questions, facing situations, and there are choices that are made. Today we're going to be talking about the after effects also. Taylor, how old were you when you became pregnant?
21.
Okay. And Kim?
17.
Okay. Kim, tell me the thoughts that went through your mind when you found out you were pregnant. What was that like?
Oh, gosh. It was scary. And I just, I thought, there's not a chance on this earth that I can go through with having a child right now. Mostly just telling my parents and, you know, disappointing them. Because I thought, if I don't graduate high school and do all the things that I should do, just how much it would crush them. And that was kind of the basis for the choices that I made.
Okay. Okay. Taylor.
The first thing I thought of was, how am I going to tell my parents? And I was a participating leader in my church, and how I was going to tell the church. And just all the unknown decisions about my life that were now before me.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell anyone once you found out? Did you have a confidant?
I did. I told my sister.
Okay.
Pretty much right off the bat, because I needed to tell a family member just for, I mean, to get help to do what I needed to do. And just for some sort of support. I could not tell my mom at the time. And I told my friends who were kind of surrounding me, a couple of friends, and my boyfriend at the time knew and was kind of involved in the process. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My son's father is the first person I told. And then together we went and told each one of our parents.
Okay.
And then after that, we told my roommates at the time. And then it just kind of read that way.
Okay. What was that like, that meeting with the parents?
It was a little surprising. For his parents, his mom cried pretty hard because she knows that experience. And so she knew what we were going through emotionally. My parents, I was really shocked at their reaction. I thought they'd be really upset. And they actually, like, the first thing they said was, okay, well, now what? And we're pretty calm about the whole thing. And I really thought, like, my dad would go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very calm.
Okay. Did you feel that church could help at that point?
I actually, at the time, I had grown up in church, mm-hmm. and was involved in church and had been to church camp and had all those life-changing experiences,
mm-hmm.
but was in a stage of backsliding and falling away from the Lord and from church and all those things. The church I was involved with was not anything I would see as a refuge or a place that I could even approach.
Okay.
It was not a safe place. I would not have gone there.
Okay.
So, no, I wouldn't have considered that. I mean, as far as that being a deciding factor, I think because of the place I was in my relationship with the Lord and my walk, I just kind of put it all on hold and just said, yeah, I'm not going to deal with that right now.
Okay.
And put it on the back burner.
Sure. Sure. Was it different for you with the church group that found out?
I mean, I knew I had to tell them right away because I was part of a ministry.
Okay.
And I knew that they'd most likely ask me to step down.
Okay.
And so I was prepared for that. And I told my pastor, I think in the week.
Okay.
And I actually told him on a Saturday. And then come Sunday, I'm up there. And then I think questions started to happen. And the ministry I was with, they were told right away. So they kind of knew what was going on. But I think it was probably 3 or 4 weeks where I would purposely come into church late, sit in the back, leave early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would chase me down at my car and I wouldn't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some comfort in certain people. I think other people were kind of afraid of what to say to me. I know some people were very angry with me.
Okay.
So it was kind of a mix of everything.
Okay. When it really came down to a decision, whether you were going to keep the child or not, what were the factors?
For me, it was my boyfriend and I. There was no talking about it. It was just, there was no keeping the baby. There was just not an option. I kind of toyed with the idea, just thinking, why not? Why not keep the baby? Why would we go through this? And there was, of course, that I didn't believe in abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe in abortion. But the kid who didn't have any support and didn't feel that my parents were approachable on this subject at all. I really couldn't ever see approaching them about it. I didn't think that there was any other option for me.
Okay.
For me, I went to church when I was a little kid, but then through junior high and high school, that was the farthest thing from me. But I still always felt that abortion was not an option.
Okay.
And my mom, when I was 12, she got pregnant with my sister, and financially it was a really hard place for my parents, and bringing another child into the family would have been really hard. And she actually thought about it, and like that was hard for me for her to even think about that, because you know that was my future sibling. She chose not to, but I think that really made me think about it more, and I looked into it just to kind of study the subject, and that for sure was just was not an option. I think the biggest thing my son's dad and I thought between was keeping it or putting it up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But I just always felt that I would keep the baby.
Okay. Do you think in your parents' situation that they were prepared for these types of situations?
Knowing what I know about my parents, not at all.
Okay.
There's not at all.
Okay.
I mean, even... Yeah, not at all. My parents, they can say things like, oh, well, we would have just loved you through it or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
there's not a chance they would have been prepared for one of their girls
mm-hmm.
getting into something like that. There's just no way.
Okay.
There is such a stigma about that.
Okay.
You know, anything. I mean, if we had gotten into drugs or anything else
mm-hmm.
that they had known about, they would have been just blown away. My mom still, I'll tell her things that I did, and she's like, oh, I'm just so glad I didn't know about it then. I mean, it's still not a comfort, like telling her as an adult still kind of like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't tell you then.
Sure. You mentioned stigma, and I think that there is this life. You get married, and it's going to be a new experience on your wedding night, and then you're going to have children, and it just kind of goes in this way. If they would have been more understanding, do you think it would have been different for you, Kim?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I had parents who were open and who, you know, gave me a feeling of, you know, you're a safe person to talk to. You can talk to me about anything.
Right.
I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to love you. I think that I would have been, it would have been a different life for me. I would have had a different, I don't know that I would have made the choice, though, to to get me in the situation.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
If my parents, if my father was someone who I felt was that example of a godly example, I think that it would have been, I would have made a lot of different choices. I can't blame everything on them.
Sure.
I'm responsible for what I did. But
absolutely.
And I think that if my parents had been more open to share with me and say, you know, look, we're going to be here for you. We're open. You know, come talk to us. My mom still giggles and runs away when the word sex is mentioned.
Sure.
So there's just that thing that I don't want that for my kids. I want to be able to be a safe person to talk to. And I'm setting that up now so they have a healthy sexuality or whatever. You know, whatever.
Let's put that on hold. We'll definitely talk about that toward the end.
Okay.
But thank you for that. It seems like, Taylor, it was a little different for you in that they kind of stepped up to the plate and said, okay, that's the way it is, and we love you. We don't want you running off and making rash decisions. We're going to be here for you. And it sounds like both sides did.
Yeah. Which was actually surprising. Like, I never thought that they wouldn't love me anymore or
right.
anything like that. But I'm close to my mom, but my dad and I, we don't have discussions or we never talk about things. And so I was a little surprised because to me they aren't as approachable as I would like. And I was very scared having to tell them. But I think they just realized there's no point in getting upset because it doesn't change the situation.
Right.
So
right.
we're just going to get over it sooner than later and move on with things.
Once, Kim, you discover that you're pregnant, it sounds like you thought through the situation and you made the decision. This is what we need to do about this.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of true, but actually, I mean, it's really sad. I was 3.5 months pregnant before I had an abortion, which is really disgustingly, I mean,
okay.
a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that a girl should have to see an ultrasound before she goes through with it, because if I had done that, I don't think there's any way I could have gone through with the procedure, you know. But it was my boyfriend. We had no money. We had no anything. We had to go through all this to get Medi-Cal and all that. I mean, we had to go through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go through so much to get the abortion. You would think that we would just give up and tell our parents. And sure. almost like it would have been easier to have the baby at that point. I mean,
right, right.
So it took a lot of doing to actually go through with getting the abortion. But as a kid, I think I actually turned 18 before the abortion happened.
Okay.
So I was able to sign my own waiver or whatever.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, it was going to happen no matter what, and he was going to make it happen. There was no changing his mind.
I know. Taylor, did abortion ever come up in any of the conversations that you had?
Only that it was not an option.
Okay. Okay. So right up front.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Okay. What was it like going to the clinic?
You know, I was really naive.
Okay.
I didn't even know what to expect. I had a friend who had like 3 abortions or something. I don't know. I just was surrounded by it, kind of. I just kind of was being led through it. I just didn't even really know. I wasn't someone who did a lot of research. I just kind of went and said, okay, it's what I'm doing, and kind of numb to it, knowing, just going, Lord, I know you're there. You're on the back burner. I know this is wrong, and I'm not going to look at you right now. And I remember being there and having to go get all this extra Medi-Cal coverage, and I was just numb. And then I remember even, like, I had to, because I was farther along in the pregnancy, I had to go one day and get, I don't know, they had to do one procedure, and then the next day and get the actual procedure done. It was just weird. I remember my parents being gone that weekend, and telling my sister, she was like, I can't believe you're doing this. And I mean, she was supportive, but in a way of, I guess the only way you could be when you don't really agree, but see someone going through something and you want to be there for them.
Sure.
yeah, it's just, it was very surreal, and my boyfriend took me to and from, but then that was it, he was out. Yeah, it was just a all-around horrible experience.
Okay.
I can't really describe it any other
way. Was the father there?
He was there. Okay. It's just, he was there to take me to and from.
Okay.
But then as I went through the aftermath of it, which was a whole nother set of stuff that I wasn't prepared for, stuff that happened physically, you know, he wasn't there for that. And no one was home, and my sister was home, and, you know, that was kind of a very alone time.
Let's talk about God's love for a minute. Kim, you mentioned that you were backsliding and you've had a faraway experience from God. When you found that you were pregnant, when you were going through the abortion, what did you feel? That God loved you still? Did he not? How are you feeling through that?
That's a really interesting thing, because what I knew of God's love at the time, I knew God loved me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really discover God's love to its fullest until recently.
Okay.
And I mean that I carried this shame that I think because of that experience, I can pretty much pinpoint it to that time.
Sure.
Where everything kind of came to a halt in my walk with the Lord and my ability to experience God's love. To that time, because I was so poisoned by the enemy's lies,
mm-hmm.
and I just took all that in and I just said, oh, you are worth nothing. You are disgusting and awful, and how could you do something like that and still claim to be a Christian? And here I am, now an adult with children,
mm-hmm.
in ministry,
mm-hmm.
married to a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and still experiencing all this shame,
mm-hmm.
just covered by a cloud of shame. And so until recently, when I went through a recovery class for someone who's been through an abortion, I had not been able to get out from under that cloud of shame. But then it was when I went through that class that I just had this new realization. I've been able to experience God's love to the fullest. Just realizing that when I say that I'm too gross and disgusting because of what I did for God to love me, that I say that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that now I can fully understand it. And at the time, I wasn't able to get there. I didn't understand the depth of it, of God's love.
How did you feel? God loved you before, during, and after. Did it change at all?
Oh, yeah, it changed a lot. The, I want to say generic, oh, God loves me.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Happy days. And when it all first happened, it was really, really emotional for me. And, like, that's when I actually experienced crying out to him in that type of, like, the fatherly, I'm just going to hug you type of love. And I think just that alone carried me through it all, because I went through a lot during my pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And like at first, I was angry with myself, and I was angry with him that certain things didn't happen. And then it just, with a point of desperation, like there was just, I had nothing left. I can't remember what psalm it is, but it starts out with, "Hear my cry, O Lord."
Mm-hmm.
That was me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just.
So it definitely is a new type of angle that God is there through the difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times when we're having a great time, that's what we forget about.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that he's there when it's difficult for us. And I think the point that you make is a good point, is that God is our Father. Our physical fathers are lousy sometimes,
mm-hmm.
not prepared, make mistakes, but God is our Father. And so if we remember that, then we can always, you know, the scriptures is we can come and call him Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like God met you at different points through that. And that's really cool. Did the relationship continue through the pregnancy, after the abortion, with your boyfriend at the time?
For a short time. Well, probably too long, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for a little while, and it was just right after that I met my husband now.
Okay.
But yeah, it did for a short time, and then it was done.
Okay. And as far as you, Taylor, it's probably a little different because he's the father,
mm-hmm.
of your child. So
right.
Obviously there's still kind of a connection, but there's no, you're not married. And
no.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just, you know, friends.
Okay.
trying to make the best of it for our son. And it's our goal not to get, you know, nasty with one another. Like, that's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's friendly, but there's no relationship.
Okay. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I do want to ask this one question.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility. Did they take responsibility once they heard that you were pregnant? Kim?
As far as helping me to get the insurance I needed and
okay.
whatnot, I mean, pretty much to cover it all the way through and not have my parents find out.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay. yes, he did help me with that.
Okay.
He took me through it to make sure everything was covered.
Okay.
I would say to an extent.
Okay.
But.
Okay. Let's talk about after the decision was made, after whatever took place. Kim, did you have situations? You kind of mentioned that there are some physical mm-hmm. situations after the abortion. What generally was that like? Was there any emotional? Was there any dreams? Was there any aftermath from the abortion?
The physical was immediately after, and
okay.
then that was it.
Okay.
Thank God, nothing else beyond that. But emotional, and the emotional scars will, I think, continue. Well, no, that's not true, because I feel like God's fully restored me from that. But
okay.
for years, until I was just able to surrender and give it up, yeah, they continued. The emotional effects and scars affected me deeply.
I don't want to dig too deep, but can you generally tell me what emotional situations did you have? Was there mistrust or just shame on you that you had?
Yeah, it was more of a shame. It was
okay.
more of a just, you know, I
right.
always felt like I was just ugly inside.
Okay.
And I couldn't really put my finger on it, honestly. Like, if I didn't really go back and think about everything, I just always go, gosh, you're just so, ugh, gross. If anyone really knew who you are, they would not like you.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of what I carried with me all the time. People don't know who you really are. And here I was in ministry, leading people in ministry, and
yeah.
I just felt like, boy, you just really have everybody fooled if people knew you. Yeah, because it wasn't until about a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago, when I was pregnant with my last child, that I went through this study, and it really helped me to just be free from the whole thing and really finally recover from
Great.
That. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was freedom.
A lot of years in between, but
yeah.
I'm glad
yeah.
it's done now.
Me too.
When did you finally tell your parents?
Sure, 2 years ago.
Okay.
I told my mom. My dad still does not know, but telling my mom, oh, man. It was
okay.
it was freeing
mm-hmm.
to tell her, but it
mm-hmm.
was also just really scary. It's like being there again at 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my husband was away, and I was sat her down. I'm like, Mom, I have to tell you something. I was shaking
mm-hmm.
like a leaf. And I'm like, Mom, I have to tell you something. And she's like, What's going on? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, and she was just like sobbing. And she's like, why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, Mom, I just didn't feel like you would have had the ears to hear me then.
Right.
You know, she went through all the emotions. We talked about that. You know, I think she gets that she wasn't that person. There's no way she could have been that person then. And now she'll carry that guilt with her. You know?
Right.
Until she
right.
is able to deal with her stuff. Really an incredible moment to just go, okay, oh my gosh, I'm getting it all out. I'm telling you now, you know. It's like everybody in my life knows. All my dear friends know this about me, but my mom didn't know
mm-hmm.
who I'm close with.
What would you tell your children if they came to you and said, Mom, I'm involved in an unplanned pregnancy?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, Kim?
I would tell them that there are millions of options besides abortion. I would just encourage them to never have an abortion
mm-hmm.
because, to me, the scars from the abortion carry such weight. And giving life to a child, people out there who can't have children, and, I mean, there's just so many benefits to having the child. And if they were involved in that, I mean, of course, that's not my dream for my child.
Right.
I don't want them to have premarital sex.
Right.
If it happens, things happen, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to be naive and think that that's not going to happen to my children, no matter what kind of home I'm raising them in, no matter what my
sure.
husband and I do to, you know, we're doing the best we can. I mean,
right.
We would definitely be open.
So you're more prepared than your parents were for those types of bombshell discussions.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mom, want to tell you.
I hope so. I really, really hope so. I mean, we're really doing our homework and trying to be prepared for
sure.
whatever comes our way. I mean, I know already our kids are able to come to us and talk to us about sex, and that's mm-hmm. a huge step from where
yeah.
my parents were. So, I mean,
yeah.
we're just trying to just give our kids a safe place to talk about anything, and
cool.
I'm hoping that they feel that that's the case. So.
Okay. Taylor?
Yeah, same way. Like, I hope that my son knows that, you know, no matter what, I'll love him and support him and just, you know, present the options fully educated and just really, you know, try to teach him along the way that abortion's not right from so many different aspects. I mean, from a Christian aspect, from, you know, health aspect, because, you know, a lot of problems could come from that, from an emotional aspect, you know, like you said, the scars from it. Those can affect both parties. It doesn't always just affect the girl, but, you know, even so, you wouldn't want to be a part of, you know, that emotionally scarring someone or something like that. Just hope to teach him right, and so he can grow up and make the right decisions for himself, but know that if he's ever in trouble, like, he, you know, shouldn't be afraid to come talk to me.
Cool.
So,
cool. Hindsight's 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear. Any regrets? What could have been done different? Anything? And the reason I'm asking this is we're now talking to your children now,
mm-hmm.
and raising your children. What are you going to do that's different that may stave off the deviations?
Well, I have huge regrets. I mean, obviously, the promiscuity and the premarital sex,
mm-hmm.
and that came from a lack of self-respect, and I'm hoping to raise my children with self-respect and dignity that I didn't have. So that would be number one. But again, if they get themselves in a situation where they have an unplanned pregnancy, I just hope that they are also educated in just the dangers of what physical danger of abortion, but also just that from a godly perspective of what how God feels about abortion,
okay.
and just the eternal effects of that. And I plan to share my experience with them at some point, because I think they'll at some point speak on it or something. You know, I don't know. I'll be sharing my story somewhere
mm-hmm.
publicly. I don't know.
Okay.
But so I think my children will know at some time.
I don't know if I would say I regret my decision. I now know that it was wrong and that it shouldn't have been done, but it brought me to a place in my walk with the Lord that I don't think I would have been now if I had just kept on going like I was. Like you said earlier, like, when everything's good, we kind of forget
yeah.
things, and then something turns our world upside down, and that's when we, you know, really see the Lord, and
mm-hmm.
like, that's really what I felt brought me to where I'm at. And I don't know how long it would have taken otherwise for me to get there, but yeah, I would hope that he'd see through how my life has been since then that it's not even, you know, worth it.
Okay.
Because a lot has changed from where I thought I'd be.
Okay. Let's ask just a couple more questions of Taylor. Is that you have a relationship with the father,
mm-hmm.
raising the child,
mm-hmm.
but you're not married.
Correct.
Is that a strainful relationship within the family? Is there kind of pushing toward that a lot, or is it more you guys need to decide what's best for you and all that?
I think each one of our families hopes
okay.
for a certain outcome, but knows it's left up to us.
Okay.
And then that's a little one-sided even. But nobody's put their foot down, so to speak, and said, you guys are going to get married no matter what
okay.
type thing. But yeah, everyone just kind of hopes
okay.
for certain things.
Kim? You have five wonderful children now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see them differently because of your past? Do you treat them differently? Has that affected you either way?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, I look at them every day and think, why, Lord, do you give me these incredible blessings? I mean, I for a long time I looked and said, so undeserving, again, in that shameful place.
Right.
But now, with a new perspective, I just think, man, Lord, you must think so highly of me to bless me with these amazing gifts, even though, you know, I went through all that and was that person. But God, for some reason, thinks that highly of me, that He gave me this huge responsibility of 5 kids and left my body in shape to bring 5 children into the world. And I just look at them with just seeking God's wisdom every day to raise them in a way that is pleasing to Him. And again, just doing the best I can do with His strength, because it's not an easy job. So, yeah.
Taylor, raising the child, unmarried, without a college education, without a career, quote-unquote, how tough is it?
Very tough.
Okay.
Right now I'm trying to go to school and work and share my son's life. And it's a lot, and it'll be a lot for a few years still. So he's most important, and to provide the best for him, I know I need a college education. Mm-hmm. And you know that it'll be tough for a few years, but you know, after that, he'll be in school. I'll hopefully be teaching. We'll have more time together because our schedules will be more in sync. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is really hard. He's an easy kid, but it's still very difficult.
I want to ask this question. How difficult is it or will it be when you meet the guy of your dreams, whether it's a dating situation or maybe you get married with the father of the child in the mix? How tough is that going to be?
Well, there's just a lot of factors now.
Yeah.
When I do start dating someone, I don't really want them to interact a whole lot with my son until we're serious. I don't want a bond formed that may be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I always deal with, it's going to be hard for me to find someone because I have a kid. And you know, like I deal with going to the grocery store with a baby and people looking at me funny or you know, things like that. You know, there's a lot of factors that will have to go in when someone else is brought into the picture, you know, because his father is very involved. And so that person will have to deal with that. And if, you know, when I marry someone and if we have children, making sure that my son is included and feels part of that family unit. And then also, you know, the consistency of how me and my son's father raise our son. We both have to be consistent.
Wow.
And, you know, share the same views, bringing him up where he's, you know, that's so confusing. You know, he needs the same thing in each household. So then my son's father, whoever he dates or marries, she'll have to play a role in that as well. And it's just a lot in the mix.
I'm certainly not trying to put any guilt on you at all. But the reason I ask those questions is that it's a tough road. There are so many things that you have to consider. With abortion, there is things that you have to overcome. When you keep your child to raise, there are things that you have to overcome. It is tough on both sides. And yet, if you listen to Washington or any of these groups that are saying abortion is like getting a shot, or it's just very easy, very simple. No one talks about it after. What happens after? Nobody wants to talk about that. And the question I want to ask right now is, what can the church do to prepare themselves for the what-ifs of life? What can a church do?
Well, you know, the way that I began going through the study that I went through, I was at a women's retreat, and some girls and I were going through our cabin chat questions or whatever, and I said something like, kept saying, referring to, well, you know, my past and this and that and whatever I did, and my friend said, Kimberly, what did you do? Did you kill somebody? I said, actually, I did, and I just started bawling.
Wow.
And that's how it kind of all came out with this group of girls, and so they were like, oh my gosh, you know, I had no idea, and so they gave me the number, and name a number of this gal who led me through this study called Finding Out the Brokenhearted, and it was this abortion recovery study. And that was offered through the church I was at. And I thought that was so awesome that the church had that study available to me, a pastor's wife. My husband was a pastor on staff at this large church, and I still was able to go through that study and not be like, oh no, sorry, your husband's fired. You know, like it was just such a great thing. They had all kinds of things like that available. They had Teen Mops, you know, which is mothers of preschoolers for teens, you know,
wow.
I mean, you know, things like that. They have all kinds of things there at that church, and I thought that was so great. They were prepared. for these kind of life circumstances. So that's the way, is to get a grasp on what's really going on in the world, and going, you know what, we need to be supportive instead of saying, oh, you're not okay, and you can't be a leader because you're this or that. There's a difference between saying, like in Taylor's situation, saying you need to step down and get everything good and right, and then, or saying, let's, like, getting you through the process and getting you to a place where you can get your household in check or whatever. But being able to do that and walk you through the process rather than saying, sorry, close the door, you're out, you know.
Right.
So I just have to highly commend them for being prepared. So I think that churches can start to look at that and offer those things. And it's offered in the bulletin, and it's, of course, confidential when you call.
Sure,
whatever,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
But I thought, wow, I can go through this study and feel like I'm some outcast, weird person. They have recovery studies. I mean, they have just all these amazing studies for people who are in real life circumstances.
And we, a little bit off, is that we have groups for alcoholic folks with drug issues, with sex addiction issues. We have all these things that are now becoming available. And I'm glad the church is now looking at the people with real glasses instead of these rose-colored glasses that church folk never make mistakes. Because it is a necessary thing. Taylor, in your situation with the church, did anyone kind of help you through making decisions, helping with maybe working things out? It sounds like you pretty much had a plan. Maybe you worked with your family. But what would the church need, in your opinion, to kind of help your situation?
Well, those outreach programs, my church does not have that. We're a very small church. You know, there's only so much available to us, but to even have, like, numbers to call, you know, I was never presented with anything like that. And I think through most of my pregnancy, it was kind of hush, hush, yeah, you're pregnant, but we're just not going to talk about it. And that's just how it is. And I don't feel my church was really prepared for that, and that everyone there is kind of like, oh, hi, how you doing? Oh, I'm great. When really, they're not at all. And there are a few people that I was close to that reached out to me and, you know, were like, you know, if there's anything we could do to help, that type of thing. But I think overall, as a church, I didn't really feel like they helped me through it. I actually worked at a Christian bookstore at the time. And I think they helped me the most. I mean, they had a lot of resources to help me, but there's a woman there who did have numbers for me and said, you know, oh, my friend was in the same situation. If you want, I can have you talk to her. And my manager had actually been in that situation, and she counseled me somewhat. And it was more in my workplace that I really felt everybody just loved me no matter what, and, you know, supported me through it all. So I don't know. I really don't know if it has anything to do with the size of the church or what, but yeah,
it shouldn't have anything to do.
It shouldn't.
Churches should be prepared. In today's world, in any day's world, but today's world, this is where we're at, you know.
Well, and let's kind of walk through it again. Let's make this very clear. The church teaches, and I think we all agree, that abortion should be last choice. Absolutely. And that, you know, you should wait to have sex till you're married. But if the church is only ready to save sinners and not ready to help the brokenhearted, help the folks that are really caught in the snare of sin, whatever that is, then I think the church is ill-equipped, and I think churches need to really kind of band together and look again. It's one thing to wear a nice suit and a smile and come drive up in a Cadillac in church. That doesn't mean you're okay. That means you look okay. And I think as we go through these Ronies on radios, we're going to start to begin to kind of touch on things, and men and ladies too, that there is a need out there for help. And I'd like to get some numbers from you guys before you go. And we're going to put some links up on the site as well. And I have a couple of more questions. Do you think you're going to see your child in heaven?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what will you say?
I don't know. I mean, I just think that I will immediately recognize her and embrace her. At the end of the study that I did, there was a naming and a kind of releasing the child into God's arms kind of thing, just the symbolism of that. And that was such an amazing, freeing thing to kind of give this person a name. And sorry.
okay.
But yeah, I think that I will. I know that I will.
Okay.
I don't know what I'll say.
If someone is listening that perhaps has just found out that they're involved in an unplanned pregnancy, what would be the first thing that would come to your mind to tell them?
There's so many other options.
Okay.
Don't have an abortion.
Okay.
Do not do it. Like, even if you're in the place where you can't tell your parents, you can't go through with raising a child, mm-hmm. you know, there's something even as simple as just releasing it in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no name, no nothing.
Right.
And you know, there's just so many other options.
What a great interview. And now we're going to switch gears, and I want to talk just briefly about Katrina, the hurricane. And I just think that we as Americans are good takers. We take well. I don't think there's anything wrong with planning for the future. If you're going to buy an investment home for your future so you don't have to eat dog food and get your $50 check once you've retired, I think that you should plan for your future. But I also think that we should give more than we do. I know that we're not all millionaires, but I know that we can give more than we do. And I think that this situation really kind of shook us all to a point of looking at what we can do. There's something to be said of the Salvation Army or other outreach types of situations that feed the poor. But there's another show we're going to do in the future about the homeless, taking a look at the homeless. And I think that as we see people who weren't homeless in New Orleans and Biloxi and the other cities that were involved, who had homes that are now displaced by one horrendous weather situation, now they're homeless. And so we have tens of thousands of homeless folks now. And I really think that we need to take another look at it. I just really encourage you to not only take care of you, take care of your immediate family, but take care of the family at large. Tune back in and listen again. And I thank you for listening now. And this is Jeff Roney saying goodbye. And I'll talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to Roney Zone Radio. Our new home on the web is jrd-now.com, as well as forums and a blog. See you there at jrd-now.com.
Roney Zone Radio.